who's and what's and whys and wherefores. Here you'll find your whatnots and therefores. So come on along, let's find out what's going on. Where's and when's and who's and what's it's. No matter what your taste, you can trust it's the place where you can find all your new Disney news. Where's and when's and who's and what's it's. No matter what you taste, you can trust it's the place where you can find all your new Disney news.
Welcome to the Sweep Spot Podcast. This is the current events edition as of November 10th, 2023.
All right. Thank you for joining us, everybody.
I am Lynn, your host, and Ken's my co-host, and we host the number one Disneyland podcast hosted by two former Disneyland custodial cast members.
Number one.
We are also authors of the books Cleaning the Kingdom. We have two different volumes, two different books, same title, two different subtitles, and different content in each book, and you can get signed copies on our website at thesweepspot.com. You can get them on Amazon, Kindle. You get both audiobooks wherever audiobooks are found, Audible and those. You can also join our Patreon and have some great perks for that. You can join in on our current events edition, as you'll hear tonight, where you can be in the chat room and chat with the others. And then also we'll have your comments read, some of them, on the recording, on the air as we record. And it's a lot of fun. And then also you get one bonus episode delivered to you, recorded by Ken and I. And we usually sometimes like elaborate on something from the current events, or it's something totally different, but all about Disneyland. We do have some new Patreon members I wanted to mention. And the first one is Annalisa Hoskins. Thank you, Annalisa. Appreciate it. Hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. The other one is Mark Wheeler. Thank you, Mark. Really appreciate it. And Kathy Nielsen. Thank you so much for becoming patrons. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. It helps us a lot.
Yeah. So those perks are for members that give $5 or more per month. You're always more than welcome to give more. But if you want those, you give at least $5. And then if you don't care so much about the perks, or you just can't afford that, which we totally understand, some people even give $1 a month and it does help us. But
yes, thank you.
We really appreciate it. And yeah, we put a lot of work into these and we love recording them, but there are costs that go into this and time and just a lot of energy too. So we really do appreciate it. It means a lot to us. We wanted to mention something. I'll kind of let Ken talk about it.
Well, yes. Especially if you're tuning in for the first time to the podcast as a result of this, we were included in a story that went viral. We were not quoted in the story. We'll address this during the meat of the podcast. I hope I don't offend anybody by saying the meat of it if you're vegetarian. But this is just the introduction. But when we get into the main part of the today's episode, we'll cover this story. But there was a story that went viral that referenced our books. And we were not actually consulted for the story. It just quoted the books and linked to the books, thankfully, on Amazon. So if you're finding us for the first time because of that, welcome aboard. We do a current events episode of the podcast every couple weeks, and then we do a main topic the other weeks. And so just stick around. You'll get the hang of this. And if you are curious about Disneyland at all, this is the place to come. I did want to say I am under the weather. So I apologize in advance that, you know, I sound a little different than usual. And there's going to probably be times that I'm just not going to be able to get to the mute button fast enough. So please forgive me for any coughs or whatever that you hear. Hopefully next time we record, I should be back to my normal self. Thank you for joining us. Stick with us. If you've never heard us before, I think you're going to like us.
Yeah, I wanted to mention two more things. I am a travel planner for concierge, as you know. So if you want to go to Disney, Universal, any of those destinations, you can contact me. But what I wanted to mention was that I mentioned this a while back, is that I have a podcast that's for concierge, and it's called Ears to the Kingdom. And we just talk about all the different destinations, and we give some tips on planning and suggestions on hotels and why you should book, you know, on property as opposed to non Disney property hotels. Just so many different discussions where we talked about Walt Disney World, overview of Walt Disney World last episode. And we're going to touch on all Disney destinations, and I think Universal also in the podcast at some point. We only do it twice a month, so it's going to take a while. But yeah, go over and check that out. It's a lot of fun. But I am excited to get into tonight's current events.
Hello, everyone. This is Eric Johnson with Concierge, and welcome to the D180. While Ken and Lynn cover all things Disneyland, in the D180, we take a spin around the rest of the Disney universe, and we do it in 180 seconds. Let's jump right in. We start our adventure this week in Walt Disney World, where Epcot is gearing up for their next big nighttime spectacular, Luminous, the Symphony of Us. The new show opens next month on December 5th. Disney promises us a massive display of fireworks, fountains, lights, and music designed to showcase the connections between us all. Huh, that sounds a bit familiar. Anyway, the show's designers picked some pretty great songs out, and they recently shared that list with us. You'll Be in My Heart from Tarzan, Proud Corazon from Coco, So Close from Enchanted, and so many more cover a gamut of Disney films. They're also including two original songs, Heartbeat Symphony and Beating of Our Hearts, as end caps for the adventure. The change from Harmonious to Luminous is obvious. As the lack of giant set pieces allows us to look across the vastness of World Showcase unobstructed. I'm really looking forward to my next trip so I can check out the new show myself. Too bad that trip isn't until April. But hey, speaking of which, the Run Disney Springtime Surprise Weekend still has slots open for their Hakuna Matata 10-miler on April 21st. The 5K and 10K races sold out long ago, but there's still some room for us long haulers. There are also spots open for the post-race nighttime party at Typhoon Lagoon. Seems like a great way to cool off after a long race day. Oof, I gotta get back into shape. Only 6 months to go. But enough about spring. Let's talk about some holiday season business, as all of the parks around the world are transitioning from spooky to sparkle. Walt Disney World just handed us their holiday foodie guide, and man, am I jealous of everybody who can make it this season. Our first look here is into Disney Springs. Amaretz Patisserie has so many new holiday cakes this year. Spice cake with apricot jam, vanilla chiffon with chai tea mousse, pistachio cream puffs, hot cocoa creme brulee with toasted marshmallow cream, and returning favorites. At Jock Lindsay's Hangar Bar, you can sit out on the water amid myriad Indiana Jones props and memorabilia and sip on some new holiday-themed cocktails. There are also so many new savory and sweet dishes to enjoy that I swear it's a whole new menu. Definitely make time for this. It's one of my favorite spots in Disney Springs. Almost everybody at Disney Springs has new treats for the season. You're not even going to be able to try a small percentage on your trip, but it's fun to try. Well, I'm running out of time here, but you know there are new treats all around the parks and all of the resorts. I think on our next segment, we'll have to spend some time overseas for a few rundowns. It's fun to learn about what's going on at all of the Disney parks around the world. We'll just have to wait a bit. And that's 180 seconds. I hope you enjoyed our quick spin around the rest of the Disney universe. If you'd like to learn more about these Disney adventures or just have a few questions, please come on over. Visit the social media and websites of both the Sweep Spot and Concierge. Then reach out to Lynn, your personal travel planner. He looks forward to planning something special for you and your family. For Concierge, I'm Eric Johnson, and this has been your D180.
Looking to book a vacation to Disneyland Resort, Walt Disney World Resort, Disney Cruise Line, Disney Alani, Disneyland Paris, Adventures by Disney, Universal Studios Hollywood, Universal Studios Orlando, then I can do that for you. If you contact me and we can talk about all the different options and dates, and we can kind of even make recommendations on which days might be the best for you to go. And also as a complimentary, when you book with us, we will book your dining for you if you'd like, special events. And we also, when we book a vacation for you, we just don't say have a good time after we book it for you. We are there every step of the way. We contact you before your trip to make sure everything's squared away. We even have a checklist to make sure that you have everything you need. Reservations, dining, all these different things. Your transportation, if you need help with that from the airport. Any of those sort of things, we can help you with that too. We want to make the vacation the best it can be for you, because I know that vacations aren't cheap, and we can help you do that. So if you contact me, that's Lynn, and the email is lbarron@concierge.com. That's LBARRON at concierge.com. Or you can go to thesweepspot.com, and there's a link on our front page there. You can click on that, and there's information on how to contact me. But I'd love to talk to you and help you book the best vacation possible. Now we're going to have the current events. Ken, what do you have for us?
Well, Lynn, what I have is just a few little things. The story that went viral that we were included in, we're going to start off with that and get that out of the way.
Yes.
So what happened was a news site called SF Gate. It's a San Francisco newspaper. They ran a story by Katie Dowd, headlined, "It's True, People Do Poop a Lot in Ride Lines at Disneyland and Disney World." And it says here in the article, "Twice in the last month, posters on the Disney World subreddit commented in fury and horror about the cursed things they said they had seen while waiting in line. Quote, I am in the queue for Rise of the Resistance. Someone let their kid take a dump on the floor, and then they just walked out and left it. WTF, end quote. One wrote recently. And then that fecal sighting was supported almost in real time by a commenter who said they worked at the attraction. For the skeptics, this is a quote, for the skeptics, this actually happened. Fun fact, this was one of three fecal-related incidents at Rise today. Less fun fact, I was here for all three of them, end quote, a user responded. And then later on in the article, it says, two former Disneyland custodial team workers have also written about this unsavory topic in their book, Cleaning the Kingdom, Insider Tales of Keeping Walt's Dream Spotless. In the chapter titled Disgusting Things, which is chapter 5, former cast members, as employees are referred to in the company parlance, Ken Pellman and Lynn Barron, reveal there's even a name for such happenings, Human Code H. A code H, according to the authors, originally referred to horse crap. A code age meant a custodial worker needed to clean up after one of the horses pulling a Main Street vehicle and it did its business. The term was later modified to reflect a bowel movement of the human variety. And in case you were thinking this is a pandemic-induced phenomenon, Pellman and Barron worked in the park primarily in the 1990s and early 2000s. Their gnarliest story, turn back here if you're feeling queasy, although you did willingly click on the article about Disney poopers, so you're probably here for the horror stories, occurred at Indiana Jones Adventure in Disneyland. So then it just quotes from the book in there.
Yeah.
we have our story in the book. This story has kind of taken on a life of its own. It's gone viral.
Yeah.
Many various news outlets have covered it. What do you have to say about it, Lynn?
Yeah, it's been crazy. We've had quite the attention. I've seen that we were mentioned in a couple of YouTube videos, pretty popular YouTubers, I guess you'd call them, podcasts, various articles, radio stations. I've had different people in my life, you know, friends and family say, "Hey, I heard about you in this this crap headline or something." Like, "Oh, great. Yeah, thanks." And then, but it's interesting how they make it sound like it's a trend, you know, something that's just people are doing it every day, all the time now. And right. I don't know about Disney World because we don't, you know, we've never worked there. I don't know anyone in Custodio there. But I know for Disneyland, that's not the case. I mean, it happens, but it's usually an accident or rare, you know, it's not something that is a regular thing.
Yeah, we weren't consulted for this story. They just they quoted our books, and thankfully they linked to Amazon. But it's taken on a life of its own, and people have embellished this as they've reported on it. And I saw one video where they were saying, "Oh, you know, Disney's in all kinds of trouble, and now they've got even more trouble because there's people pooping everywhere." And you know, this is, and they make it sound like it's new and unique to Disney parks, and that it's like all over the place.
Yeah,
it really, this is nothing new. As the original article said, "Hey, we worked there, you know, 1990s and 2000s. It's not new. If you have a crowded venue where tens of thousands of people are there every day, eventually something like this happens." And, you know, it can be a stadium or whatever, any place where people might be in a crowd, mm-hmm. and they just don't make it to the restroom. So it's been sensationalized. It's been distorted. But hey, it's actually sold some more books for us.
Yeah, quite a bit.
And hopefully garnered us some listeners. So if you're new, welcome aboard. We do have our Patreon supporters joining us in the chat room. And Lynn, are they saying anything about this?
Oh, they're saying a lot. No, not too much. Let's see. Michael, Disney shouldn't take that crap.
Yeah, the jokes are endless.
Oh, yeah. This reminds me of stories. Keith says, "This reminds me of stories of locals going to the bathroom in bushes around Shanghai Disneyland when it first opened." Christine says, "I do think it happens more at Walt Disney World than here since they have more foreign travelers." Oh, John, watch it become a new TikTok challenge. Hope not. And Patrick, of course, oh, poo. So, yeah, like Ken said, the jokes are endless. I want to definitely say that they did not ask us, interview us for this article. They just took what they wanted out of our book, a story that we had mentioned. We didn't even mention that this happened multiple times all the time at Disneyland. It's just we had written about a couple incidences that happened over our 15, 17 years combined that we were there. So definitely not a regular thing.
They even linked to the wrong listing on Amazon, but
oh really?
Yeah, and when you would follow it, Amazon would say, "Hey, there's a newer listing for this book."
Oh,
you know. So, but
so they still got it. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's been very interesting. So, if you haven't seen it, Ken will have a link in the show notes to it, and you can check that out for yourself. But all you have to do really is Google Disneyland poop, and it shows there's like a dozen articles that come up about it. So,
What happens? I happen to know I'm, you know, I make a live, my day job involves dealing with media. And what happened here was somebody saw something interesting. They'll scour places like Reddit. Reddit's a discussion forum, mm-hmm. where everything's broken down into topics, and they'll find something that catches their eye in there. Oh, people, you know, people pooping at Disney parks. Well, there's a story, you know, and then I guess they must have, somebody must have said, hey, there's a book about Disney custodial. And so they put that together. And then, of course, you know, once one newspaper printed it, a lot of the newspapers are part of chains. So their sister publications pick it up. And
yeah, I was wondering how that happens, because I saw practically the same article, word for word, on a different paper. Well, we call them papers, but article, I guess you could say. Who orders a paper?
But you know, then the radio newsrooms pick it up, and maybe the TV newsrooms and YouTubers and things like that, you know.
Yeah, someone said that it was on Star 98.7 in Los Angeles, which is a very big radio station out there that they had mentioned.
Yeah, I don't think they call it Star anymore, though. I think
it's really?
Yeah. I know it's been a while since you moved out, but.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's Alt 98.7 or whatever.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever. Yeah. That it's probably still popular.
Somebody said it was on K-Rock, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, we could talk about this all night. It's been very interesting. If you want the real story, that's why you're here. So,
well, get our books.
Get our books. Can read more about it. So,
hopefully we didn't turn you off to the rest of the episode, because you know it's kind of a topic that can turn people off. But you know, anyway, we got a lot of great stuff to talk about now.
All right, let's move on. The next story, very exciting, is this one, brought to you from Brady McDonald at the OC Register. And it is titled, Meet the New Family Moving Into Disneyland's Adventureland Treehouse. Walt Disney Imagineering's Kim Irvine offered a pre-dawn tour of the Adventureland Treehouse inspired by Walt Disney's Swiss Family Robinson on Friday, November 3rd, during a media preview of the renovated Disneyland attraction that opens to visitors on November 10th today. You'd be forgiven if you thought that the family living in the treehouse was once again the Robinsons from the 1960 Disney film. The nameless family of five is not the Robinsons marooned on an uninhabited island, but rather a creative bunch who just happened to like living in a treehouse in Adventureland. The pet ostrich, Jane, who lives near the kitchen, and the pet monkey, Rascal, in the boys' room have names, but the father, mother, daughter, and twin sons do not. The centerpiece is once again a water wheel that carries water to every level of the treehouse and adds a burst of kinetic motion to every room. The Disney Archives had the original water wheel from the 1960s Disneyland treehouse sitting in a warehouse. Garner Holt Productions in Redlands was able to take the pieces and create molds to replicate the original Swiss Family Robinson treehouse water wheel. Wow, I didn't know that. That's cool. The mother's magical music parlor is filled with a player organ and an animated violin that play by themselves, Swiska Polka. From the original Swiss Family Robinson treehouse plays on a constant loop that is almost as hard to get out of your head as It's a Small World. Ostrich eggs, the size of cantaloupes, appear throughout the treehouse, as do Easter eggs that pay tribute to past inhabitants. Mother is reading The Tarzan of the Apes, novel by Edgar Rice Burroughs, and the Swiss Family Treehouse novel by Johann David Wiss sits on a bookshelf. The Daughters Observatory is filled with telescopes made of old barrels and models of the solar system made from gourds. She corresponds with an astronomer from the Society of Explorers and Adventurers, an alternate reality where Disney characters exist in Disney theme park lands. Have you seen any of the videos, Ken?
I've seen a little bit of the videos, yes.
They look really neat. Really like what really they good. Did. Yeah, they didn't have to do all that extra stuff. They could have just reopened it with a new theme and not really done some of the extras. But
this is Disney.
Exactly. And I'm really glad they did this, because now I think it just shows that this will be around much longer.
People did not like that it turned into Tarzan, from the Swiss family to Tarzan. But realistically, I've said it before, without that, it wouldn't still be there.
Yeah.
And so even if you didn't like the Tarzan overlay that much, it at least it kept it there long enough to get this. And so now this is there, which fits in. It's got a lot of things for, Disney enthusiasts to really like about it. Mm-hmm. And it gives you some great views of the park, and it adds atmosphere, and it's a physical activity for people to do inside the park. So there's a lot to like about it.
Yeah, and I'm glad that they have those noises, the water and the music back in Adventureland, just to add more to that area. You could always hear the Tarzan music when you'd walk by, but it's just something about the Swiss polka that you, that everyone loves. We have a couple comments here I wanted to read. Christine said, the treehouse looks fantastic. Michael said, looks like a real bed in one of the rooms. They could charge a fortune letting people spend the night in it.
Yeah, I'm sure they will eventually.
Yeah. The preview video, Keith said, the preview video of the treehouse from Disney Parks seemed to have a lot of blue lighting. Yeah, I noticed that too. It looked good though. But yeah, Christine, I posted Fresh Bake's walkthrough in the group. Perfect. Yeah, he did a really good job on that video. Michael,
That's our Facebook group.
Yeah, right? Facebook group. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, we have the Sweep Spot group on Facebook, folks, that you can join in there.
Michael Parks, could the trend of attractions without existing IP catch on? For now, it would be nice.
You have to keep in mind that Disney, one of the reasons Disney had that in the 70s, was they didn't have hit movies at the at the box office, so they really didn't have any choice.
Right.
There is something to be said for stuff that's not based on a movie that Disney has in the theaters.
Yeah, then they can make that into a movie. So
right, if it's compelling enough, mm-hmm. why not? The stories, the characters, the settings can originate anywhere in the company. Whether it's it can originate on one of their islands that they use for the cruise ships, or in a comic book, or let's face it, Marvel was all comic books originally.
Yeah,
and then it took over the movie industry. So.
Yeah. Very true. Let's see, we have a couple more. People are very excited about this. John, they should have a churro stand at the top. Patrick, a friend went Thursday and said they were using Lightning Lane?
What?
No, that was for the Magic Key preview. Oh yeah, Christine said that in the
comments. they can sell Powerade up at the top, so that if you're getting out of energy,
they should have as a slide, like, to come down. That'd be cool.
They've deliberately gotten rid of the slides over the years. They used to have some in Toontown. They got rid of those.
The Skyway. Well, yeah, I'm very excited to see it. It looks really good. They did a very good job with it. So I'm looking forward to that.
That should be good.
Yeah. Well, Yvonne said bungee jump. Yeah.
There you go. They'll charge a lot extra for that.
All right. Moving on.
Okay. Well, as MiceChat.com is reporting, Disneyland Fantasmic gets a reopening date. And Dusty Sage updated his story. It includes, you know, why Fantasmic went down in the first place. They've updated that story and with the latest, and it starts out with, it was a shocking performance of Fantasmic at Disneyland on April 22nd, 2023, when the Maleficent Dragon, affectionately known as Murphy, caught on fire as guests watched in shock. The entire dragon soon became engulfed in flames and began falling apart on stage. And then Universal Studios sued for gimmick infringement. I added that last part. Soon after the incident, cast members were told that their show would be closed through at least Memorial Day. The cast members were informed that Fantasmic would remain dark until... No, then cast members were informed that it would remain dark until at least Labor Day. Then we learned that Fantasmic would be delayed until the spring of 2024. Well, now we know exactly when the park intends to reopen the beloved show. 2026. No, I'm just kidding. May 24th, 2024. Cast have been told there will be significant changes to the show when it returns, including a thrilling new finale between Sorcerer Mickey and Maleficent. They were further told that although the dragon figure won't be part of the show when it returns next spring, there will be plenty of exciting new special effects to wow our guests. It's unclear from Disney's phrasing if a dragon might return at some point in the future, but we do know that parts of the show are being rewritten to accommodate the lack of a dragon figure. Here's an official statement from Disneyland. Quote, our goal is to always deliver the best possible show for our guests. With that in mind, we are planning the return of Fantasmic with exciting new magic in spring 2024. As teams continue to work on the show, we have launched nightly entertainment on the Rivers of America this summer, and we are working on even more exciting entertainment offerings for our guests later this year. End quote. What do you think, Lynn?
Sounds good. Should be a good time to return just before summer, looks like. Before, was that Memorial Day weekend right there?
Probably.
Yeah. Very good. No, I mean, I'm glad I'll be back. Well, I'm interested to see what changes they have.
I think instead of turning into a dragon, I think Mickey and Maleficent are going to get into a dance-off. You know?
That would be cool.
And then they'll have, like, they'll have, like, the Dancing with the Stars judges determining the winner, you know?
And Mickey would win.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
What do our chat room talkers have to say?
Well, Keith said this would be a good time to introduce a drone show into Fantasmic with no dragon. Yeah.
Yeah, I think eventually we're going to see that in terms of kind of phasing out actual pyro, maybe for the aerial pyrotechnics that the park has long had as its kiss goodnight.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Confetti. Over the water. All right, let's move on to the next story. This one is brought to us from Brady McDonald over at OC Register. It says, Disneyland closing Tale of the Lion King musical. Tale of the Lion King will end its run at Fantasyland Theater at Disneyland with final performances on January 7th, according to Disneyland officials. A new show for the Fantasyland Theater has not been announced. Disneyland continues to look for ways to bring fan favorite stories and experiences to life, according to Disneyland officials. Disney Live Entertainment first staged Tale of the Lion King in summer 2019 at Disney California Adventure on the banks of Paradise Bay in the World of Color viewing area. The Tale of the Lion King show moved to the Fantasyland Theater in May of 2022 after the year-long pandemic closure of Disney's Anaheim theme parks in March of 2020. I had never seen this show at either location before. I've heard good things about it, but I had never seen it there.
Yeah, I wonder, you have to wonder if Wish is going to come in, you know?
Maybe.
Because it doesn't, Wish has songs, right?
Yeah, yes, of course, yeah.
Even if it didn't have songs, you could still do a live show, you know?
It would have been good, because remember when the, of course you remember, in the 90s when they would put out parades, like as sometimes before the movie came out, like Mulan came out, the parade started before it was in the theater. Not real long, but it did for a little bit come out before the actual movie. I think it was like a week or a couple weeks or something. But they would do that, or right as the movie would come out. They wouldn't wait to see if it was a success or not. They would make a good show. It doesn't, to me, it always didn't really matter if the movie did well or not. I just think if you make something good and you stand behind your product and you have faith in it, then go for it, right?
Yeah, I mean, if the parade or the stage show is good on its own.
Right.
And parades are usually going to be good on their own anyway.
Yeah.
You know, because Disneyland Entertainment is good that way. You know, the performers are engaging and the floats are usually something, you know, entertaining to look at. They didn't wait to see if it was a hit. They just did it, you know.
Well, and it benefits them more, because what happens if they do it after the fact? Then yeah. People wait to, because by then it'll be on Disney Plus, and if you're already a subscriber, then, but so it doesn't really benefit. I mean, it might gain some more subscribers, but really what you want is, you want people in theater seats, and then that's what it would do. By having it, you know, what's this music from, or what's that show from? Oh, the movie? Yeah, let's go see that tomorrow. So, I don't know. What do I know? But just saying, it seems logical to do something like that.
Yeah.
You hear me, Disney? No. Yeah, so who's to know? Let's look at our comments quite a bit here. Lion King breakout is what John said. Maybe a Moana show, Christine said. I could see that. Or like some of those other movies, Encanto or Coco, or I know those are all pretty popular. Maybe time to put an attraction in that space.
Yeah, well, I think it's good to have a stage venue somewhere. They could always build another one somewhere. But
yeah,
it's good to have one somewhere.
I hope they don't let it sit empty too long, because California Adventure had the Hyperion Theater, and they had that Aladdin, then they had Frozen, and then, you know, the parks closed down. Frozen never came back, but so for 2 years or so, they didn't have a show in there. They brought in the Rogers the Musical, which I thought was really good, and it only stayed for a summer. And then it's gone, and so now they don't have anything in there. So I hope that's not the same case, because.
You're saying is they should do a stage venue in Tomorrowland, so that when it's kept empty, it just it's kind of par for the course.
Exactly. Now you can. I think it's good to have. Like you said, the shows are good to have. They They give a chance for people to sit down, maybe have a snack, you know, rest a little bit. People don't get as cranky. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Theater, Michael said, theaters are great crowd absorbers and a good option for families with little kids. I hope they keep the show venue. Yeah, I agree. That kind of goes along with what we're saying. I think it's good to have that mix of people expect that. I mean, Disney, you know, they have musicals out on Broadway everywhere. Why wouldn't they have one in their parks? I know they're hard to staff, you know, cast or whatever, but
yep,
I don't know. That's what they do. I mean, they've been doing it for a long time.
All right.
Let's move on to our next one.
Earl of Sandwich moving again to make room for Pardo's Bakery at Downtown Disney. Man. This is Brittany McDonald reporting at the Register. Earl of Sandwich will soon be moving again to another new temporary location in Downtown Disney to make room for construction of the new Pardo's Bakery at the Anaheim Outdoor Shopping Mall next to Disneyland. Earl of Sandwich will open a temporary pop-up shop this winter in Downtown Disney's West End, according to the official Disneyland Magic Key Instagram account. The latest Earl of Sandwich temporary pop-up shop will be located near the Star Wars Trading Post on the west end of Downtown Disney, not far from the original Earl of Sandwich location. Earl of Sandwich has to move out of its current temporary pop-up shop in the former La Brea Bakery location to make way for the demolition of the building for a new Pardo's Bakery and Eatery. Pardo's is set to begin construction in Downtown Disney on the La Brea Bakery location, pending completion of the bakery's design plans. The winter time frame means the latest Earl of Sandwich pop-up shop will open sometime between December 1st and the end of February. It's possible the current East End location in the former La Brea Bakery and the new West End location near the Star Wars Trading Post may both be open simultaneously for a limited time. Kind of like Starbucks, you know. Earl of Sandwich opened its current pop-up shop in February after La Brea Bakery abruptly closed in January after more than two decades of operation as one of the original businesses in Downtown Disney. An Earl of Sandwich Tavern full-service restaurant with a full bar opened next door to the temporary takeout sandwich shop. The original Earl of Sandwich restaurant was torn down in February 2022 along with AMC Theater, Starbucks West, and Sugar Boo and Company as part of the renovation of the West End of Downtown Disney. Mm-hmm. You know, changes are afoot at Downtown Disney.
Yeah, but they've been moved around quite a bit, and they're hanging in there. Yeah.
Well, if it was Subway, they'd probably have two locations anyway at Downtown Disney.
True.
I mean, that, you know, Subway has more locations, I think, than any other franchisee. I mean, it's some parts around, some places near Disneyland, if you drive a few, you know, if you drive the streets, it's like there's a Subway, there's a Subway, there's a Subway.
A lot of the comments are kind of mixed. Some people seem to like Earl of Sandwich, some don't understand it. But I like Michael had said, they're an affordable option to the expensive restaurants. So that is true. There's not enough of those, I think, in Downtown Disney, and that is definitely
bring back Compass Books.
Good to have. Yeah, they had a good little bakery or snack area there too. Yeah. So they just keep getting moved all over the place, but they will have their permanent location when they're finally done with that area, like you had mentioned. So, all right. Let's move on to the next thing. This is brought to you from Laughing Place, Luke Mammy. He's talking about the construction nears the finish line on the new Downtown Disney stage. The first element of the reimagined west end of Downtown Disney is getting ready to debut as construction is beginning to wrap up on the new Downtown Disney live stage. So that'll be nice.
Yeah, it actually looks like, because this story came out on the 9th.
Okay.
And it actually looks like since the story was published, I think they did finish the stage.
Oh, is it open?
So I don't know if anyone's performing on it yet, but, you know.
Hmm. Okay.
So Downtown Disney continues to be developed. And we can look for chat room comments. I'll continue talking about Downtown Disney because Luke Manning also had a story, snow to fall nightly on Downtown Disney beginning November 24th. How's that for a weather prediction? Okay. And he says, while snow has been falling throughout Disneyland Park for many years now, this year we'll see the debut of the magical moment in the Downtown Disney District. Snow is scheduled to fall in the Downtown Disney District nightly every half hour from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. between Jazz Kitchen Coastal Grill and Patio and Black Tap Craft Burgers and Shakes. The snowfall moments will begin on November 24th and will happen daily through December 31st. So,
great.
I think they're trying to do more and more stuff in Downtown Disney.
Yeah, no, that's great. Add more. It's always good. I will look forward to seeing that when I'm there. That would be cool.
Anybody in the chat room have anything to say about that?
About that?
about Downtown Disney?
Well, they're just talking about Earl Sandwich still. Yeah.
Okay.
Michael said don't eat the snowflakes. So, yeah.
Yeah, this is not, it's not action. Spoiler alert, and you might want to cover your kids' ears. It's not really snow.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, through the power of Disney magic, I guess it is. I wanted to talk a little bit about what's happening around the industry because it will affect Disneyland. Since we last recorded, there was a merger announcement about Cedar Fair, which owns Knott's Berry Farm, and Six Flags, which owns Magic Mountain. And as the story, it's Brittany McDonald covered it in the Register. It says, what Cedar Fair, Six Flags, $8 billion merger means for Knott's and Magic Mountain. And as he says in the story, he says, Knott's Berry Farm owner Cedar Fair and Magic Mountain owner Six Flags agreed on Thursday, November 2nd, to an $8 billion merger of equals that will combine the two companies into a North American amusement park juggernaut. That is right. I want $8 billion. We are going to attack Disney and Universal, said. No, I'm just kidding. The combined company will be known as Six Flags once the deal is done. Together, Cedar Fair and Six Flags will have a portfolio of 27 amusement parks and 15 water parks in the United States, Canada, and Mexico that attracted 48 million visitors in the past year. The expanded footprint of the Cedar Fair Six Flags Union will only have overlapping parks in two key markets, Southern California and the San Francisco Bay Area. The overlap in Northern California will be relatively short-lived. Cedar Fair has sold California's Great America, and the park will cease operating within a decade or less, which would eventually leave only Six Flags Discovery Kingdom in the Bay Area market. Cedar Fair CEO Richard Zimmerman said on a call with investors that there are no plans to close any of the parks following the merger. Of course, a lot of those parks only operate seasonally anyway. As it says down here, The combined company will have a trio of intellectual property brands, DC Comics, Looney Tunes, and Peanuts, that can be used to theme rides and attractions. The DC Comics lineup of superheroes could allow Knott's and Cedar Fair to step up and compete on themed attraction level with the Marvel superhero rides at Disneyland and Universal Studios Orlando. The merger of equals appears to tilt in favor of Cedar Fair. Cedar Fair will oversee the day-to-day park operations of the merged company. The combined company will be based at Cedar Fair's headquarters in Charlotte, North Carolina, with finance and administrative operations housed at the company's flagship Cedar Point theme park in Sandusky, Ohio. Zimmerman and CFO Brian Witherow will serve in the same roles in the combined company. Cedar Fair shareholders will own 51.2% of the merged company. As with any merger, cuts are expected wherever there is a duplication of roles. Administrative and operational synergies will result in $120 million in cost savings within the first 2 years of the merger, according to the Cedar Fair Six Flags announcement. What say you, Lynn?
What?
You're stunned?
I am just, I don't know.
You're speechless.
What? I am speechless.
Okay,
no,
well,
I don't know. I was going to say, it doesn't surprise me, but at the same time, I don't know.
Well, yeah. I could talk for a while about this, but there's going to be layoffs, okay, of office or support staff, you know, the people who work, not necessarily the people who work inside the parks or the people who work in the offices. No. I mean, that's one of the whole reasons for mergers like this. So they can lay people off and give more work to the remaining people.
Consolidate.
Yeah, and it gives the combined company more power in dealing with suppliers. Everything from whoever supplies the toilet paper to the ride manufacturers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the ride manufacturers. Because it used to be Cedar Point and Magic Mountain used to compete as to who had the most roller coasters. You know, every time one of them added a roller coaster or took one away, it changed who was the leader.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going to be in the same company. And so it's going to have an impact on the company that sells ride systems. You know, you have various companies. They sell them to Disney Universal and Disney and Universal as well. You know, Intamin, Vekoma. There's a bunch of different companies that make attractions and, you know, ride systems, roller coasters, etc. But now they have, you know, they'll have one less company to sell to. There's a lot of people who work at Knott's in various roles, whether it's frontline hourly cast members or some of the management that mm-hmm. used to work at Disneyland.
Yeah.
You know, when you make it one less company, they have one less option to go to. Like maybe they have the option, well, I could either go to Magic Mountain or I could go to Knott's and work one of those places. Well, now it's the same company. It'll be the same company.
Right.
So it makes it one less option. Also, I would not be surprised if there's more mergers ahead, because most likely one or both of these companies were talking with other companies as well. And what are those other companies? There's SeaWorld, right, which owns the SeaWorld parks and the Busch parks.
Mm-hmm.
There's Merlin, which owns in the United States. It does things in multiple countries, but in the United States, the Legoland parks are Merlin. There's also Hershend Entertainment, and one of their things that are involved with is Dollywood, but they're involved in multiple entertainment venues. So, you know, you might see, for instance, SeaWorld and Merlin strike a deal or something. I mean, you know, because they kind of they kind of have to in response to this, you know. It's like right. Disney and Universal are the two big heavy hitters, at least in the United States, you know, and many other countries too. But in the United States, it's Disney and Universal. And so it kind of behooves these other companies to make deals, you know, otherwise they kind of get lost in the fray. So it does affect Disneyland, you know, because it changes the playing field for the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Maybe in a good way.
Maybe. I sure hope so. I was kind of worried when I heard about the merger because I just thought, oh, you know, I hope not. I hope the good things about Cedar Fair are adapted throughout the company, you know, so that parks become more like Knott's and yeah. As opposed to Knott's becoming more like an amusement park instead of a theme park. I mean, you know, so
well,
anyway,
that,
yeah,
that kind of, we have some comments on this and that kind of comes in with that is, John said Magic Berry Flags Farm.
they said the names of the parks aren't going to change yet.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. But Keith said they really don't want them to mess with Knott's at all, especially Ghost Town.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Christine said that she doesn't remember which YouTuber, but she was watching. They suggested Cedar Fair sell Knott's to the company that runs Dollywood.
Yeah, Hirshend Entertainment. Yeah. But you know, I kind of had the same thinking, but it's not going to happen because Knott's is probably one of their best attended parks, or the best attended one when you come in the combined company.
They said in California,
and it operates year round. So that's where, especially from Halloween Haunt, that's where they get their money. So. They're probably because I would have loved, I don't know if we've talked about it. We probably have talked about it on the podcast before. There was a time when Knott's Berry Farm was still owned by the Knott family that there were people within Disney who came up with a design of what they want. They wanted Disney to buy Knott's and they would upgrade Knott's in, you know, and then basically that would help expand the Disneyland Resort because you could connect them with the monorail or whatever. And Knott's was already getting like maybe 5 million people a year. So it would have been very easy to overhaul it. In other words, the infrastructure would have already been in place. You weren't starting from scratch with a parking lot or something, you know? And then, you know, this was before California Adventure was built, you know? And then, you know, that was a faction within Disney. It wasn't the company corporate leadership. And so obviously the Knott family sold the Cedar Fair. And so so that's a long way of saying, I would love if the new company said, well, we need to make some money, you know, so we're going to sell Knott's to Disney or sell Knott's to a group that's going to, you know, some former Imagineers that are going to overhaul it, you know. I would have loved that, but probably not going to happen.
Well, we'll just see what happens. Hopefully it's for the best for Knott's and they keep history. I'm worried about the ghost town. Like, you know, like Keith had said, that's the history part of Knott's is the ghost town.
I mean, I think it's great when, you know, you book trips, right? A plug for, you know, Lynn is your trip planner, but people can, you know, they can come visit Disneyland and they can also spend a day at Knott's or whatever, you know, and I want it to stay that way. So,
yeah, time will tell, but we will see.
Yeah.
All right. See the next story from the OC Register, Brady McDonald. Disneyland's bigger crowds and higher ticket prices boost company profits. Disney Parks and Experiences operating income increased more than 30% during the company's fourth quarter compared to prior year, according to a financial report released by Disney on Wednesday, November 8th. Disney's fourth quarter covered most of the summer from the beginning of July through the end of September. The Disneyland Resort saw strong year-over-year growth in both revenue and operating income. Disney's operating income increased in the fourth quarter due to higher attendance, higher average ticket prices, and increased guest spending at the Disneyland Resort. Sales of the new Disney Vacation Club villas at the Disneyland Hotel also helped boost income. Yeah. I mean, anytime you raise prices, you're going to boost your... well, not anytime, because that could turn people off, but at the same time, the boost in prices, and especially Disney, I mean, people are going to... it's shown over time, people are going to continue to come. I mean, not everyone, but obviously they're doing well, so...
yeah. Yeah, they're not hurting for money.
No. All right. Let's move on to the next one.
I think I wanted you to cover it because it was...
Oh, yeah, I see you there. Okay. Yeah. The next one is the OC Register from Brady McDonald. Also says, Disneyland system outage disrupts ticket sales and park reservations. Disneyland visitors and annual pass holders who ran into a 404 error code on Tuesday, November 7th, due to a system outage, can once again purchase tickets and make reservations. During a planned infrastructure upgrade today, an outage impacted guests' ability to purchase tickets, renew Magic Keys, and make, modify, cancel theme park reservations. According to Disneyland officials, these temporary impacts have been resolved. An error page with the seven dwarfs carrying pickaxes over where we're working on it encouraged visitors to try again later. Yeah, I was getting some tickets for a client that day, and I thought it was my computer. I kept trying different browsers, and I tried my phone. I thought, what is going on? This never happens. now I know why.
Talk about pressure. I mean, that's pressure to get that fixed, because you just think about how much money every minute Disney makes from those things.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to discourage, you don't want anybody getting turned off and saying, ah, forget it. You know, let's go to Universal instead. And one of the reasons why I wanted you to cover that story was, I think, you know, let Lynn handle these things for you, folks.
Yeah. Let me come up, discover that the site's not working, and I'll come back. I'll keep waiting and waiting until it finally does, which is what I did. And the minute it came back up, I was able to get the client the tickets they needed, and they didn't have to mess with that. So, yeah.
Anybody in the chat room have anything to say about anything at all?
Oh.
They carry on side conversations in there.
Yeah.
So you should join them if you can.
Patrick said Disney bought out Hulu this week.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. They made the deal to get Hulu. Yeah. I think kind of the easy thing to do is say put all of our non-Disney branded stuff on Hulu, and then all of our Disney stuff on Disney Plus. But I don't know, you know, what do I know?
I don't know. Someday our podcast will be on Disney Plus.
Someday our podcast. No, anyway.
All right, let's move on.
All right. Well, I wanted to point out that, as usual, MiceChat.com had a couple of Disneyland updates. They're very heavy with the with pictures. They kind of recap everything that's happened in the past week. There's the update from Liliana Parker called Sad Departures and Exciting Additions. And as it was from October 30th. And as it says, Halloween has arrived at last, but that hasn't slowed down the relentless march of holiday cheer, infiltrating every nook and cranny of the Disneyland Resort. This week, we've seen the arrival of exciting announcements, as well as some unfortunate departures. And of course, there's no shortage of construction projects, keeping the resort in a constant state of change. So without further ado, let's start with the end of an era. I think she's referring to the voices of Disneyland and DCA. They still haven't called me to offer me those positions. And of course, you know, being under the weather, they might never do that. That would be the reason why. But Dusty Sage had an update from November 6th called Treehouse Triumph, Jungle Turbulence, and Toontown Turmoil. Welcome to our weekly Disneyland update. We're just a few days away from the start of the Christmas season, and there's a lot happening at the happiest place on earth. This week, get ready to scale a new adventure in a classic location at the rejuvenated Adventureland Treehouse. I got to take an early look and share my thoughts. We also share news about an unexpected detour for the Jungle Cruise. Glimpse the rapid decking of the halls as Holiday Splendor arrives at Disneyland, but is it also a little too tired? And dive into some big construction progress, upcoming refurbishments, and the latest wild news. Grab your mouse ears, folks. It's time for our weekly Disneyland reality check. And of course, those end up under the current events section at our website at thesweepspot.com. So you can click through and see the entire thing, thanks to Russell. But now it's time, well, to catch up either on the chat room or for Lynn to update us on the refurb information.
All right, let's move into refurbs. And the list is a little bit shorter.
Oh, good.
Than it had been in the past. So the Mark Twain Riverboat is still down and no return date as far as the calendar goes out to like the second, third week in December. So I don't know if it'll be up and running for those last 2 weeks of December, which is the busiest time of the year. But we'll see. Astro Orbiter goes down for refurb on November 27th, and there's no return date for that one either. Closed indefinitely.
Closed indefinitely. Original Disney theme park attraction, you know.
Yeah. Indiana Jones Adventure is going down November 27th, and it reopens December 1st. So just a week there, less than a week. So
it's probably because the fecal matter is, you know, never mind.
Building up. No.
Building up. It's everywhere.
The Incredicoaster also goes down on November 27th. And that one returns December 2nd. It's a Saturday. It's kind of odd. It doesn't return on Friday. Usually they return on a Friday. But yeah, as of now, it says December 2nd. So November 27th, Incredicoaster. That's all I have.
All right. Anything left in the chat room?
I wonder what's going on with Schmoozies. Oh yeah, I didn't mention Schmoozies. I just mentioned the attractions, but yeah, Schmoozies is been down for a while. I don't know.
Maybe their ice cream machine's broken because it's McDonald's. So no, I'm just kidding.
Maybe.
Well, you know, you can join our chat room if you are a Patreon supporter up to a certain level. And that's a lot of fun because you can chat with other Patreon supporters of the podcast. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome. I apologize. I don't normally sound quite like this. I am under the weather. And we are so happy that you've joined us. We've got an extensive archive of free episodes. Just check those out. Tell your friends how to find the podcast so that you can talk with them about the latest in Disneyland happenings. We do cover the latest every couple of weeks. And then every other week, we have a topic where we might be interviewing somebody, an author, somebody we used to work with, maybe even a Disney legend. Maybe we're covering the history of something at the resort. So we do cover what's happening now and the past, and we do speculate about the future. So if you like Disneyland, you want to learn more about it, just keep following us. You know, subscribe where you can find us on your favorite places to listen. Bookmark thesweepspot.com. Find us on social media and join us there. And anything else to add, Lynn?
No, that sounds good. Thank you so much for listening.